Please get your Bibles as we turn today to the book of Peter, 2 Peter. 2 Peter. And again, we thank God for the choir. Amen. Call out choir. Had to substitute today. We thank God. God bless y'all. All the songs that you sang. And we thank God for willing workers. Amen. No complainers. It's when go out in the choir stand and honor their God. And the Lord bless them. 2 Peter, the third chapter. I'm reading verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We thank God for the reading of that ninth verse. The Lord has given me to preach this morning from this subject. It's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. As we look at this verse, we see here that it says that God is not slack concerning his promise. And God has stated that he was going to destroy this world again. And the Bible says here that, you know, there's some men think that, well, we've been hearing that a long time. We'd be surprised at the things that people say in disregard to God. I'm glad that God is a merciful God, because some things that people say, God could strike them down instantly. But God is a merciful God. God helps man. He helps man. And I'm glad that God is a God that gives you another chance. Because I'm sure all of us, as we reflect over our lives, we can say, Lord, I thank you because you gave me another chance. But as we look at this past verse again, it says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Well, I want to back up a little. I want us to kind of look at what's happening while this passage is talking about the promise of God again. The third verse, let us back up. Same chapter, verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. In the last days, there shall come mockers. Scoffers, mockers, folks who say it, they've been saying that a long time. Folks who say that, you know, Jesus is not the only way to go to heaven. Folks who say, we don't need to go to church. I worship God in and everywhere. But God said that we are to come to church. Amen. That's what he said. He didn't say go to church in front of the television. Sit by the radio. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And he was talking about in the house of God. So we have folks, and we need to keep in focus that this is the last days. And the last days, the Bible says, perilous times would come. And we, the only way you don't know that we're in perilous days, you're not alive. But if you're alive, you can see every day there's something that's happening that makes you kind of say, Lord, have mercy. And saints, we are God's people. We surely need to keep asking God to have mercy. So it's interesting that mockers, they don't seem to have a fear of God. They say what they want to say. Amen. They say it, and it's disrespectful. Some of the things folks say, I don't want to be in their presence. you know, in case God decided he's going to strike them down. I don't want to be that closer, but folks will say things, and we just need to remember the times in which we are in. We're in the last days, and the last days are evil times. So it says that they will walk after their own lust, and that's what people are doing. Whatever they decide they want to do, they do it, and they decide it's right to do it. And they decide they got freedom of speech, and they can say what they want to say. They're grown, and they can do what they want to do. But this is just the times in which we are living, and we're seeing things that's happening that years ago we didn't see it, but we just never need to lose focus that we're in the last days. We're in evil times. So folks will do what they want to do, and they follow their own lust, and they say what they want to say. But look at the verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers slept, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Well, we find out here that's a mockery. They are mocking, scoffing against God, and they don't realize that. When people say derogatory things that God has spoken to, it's against God. So where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, since they died, and they're trying to go way back, since they died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. All right, let's look at what the Bible has to say about that. I thank God. Verse 5, God is going to answer this one. He's going to give us the answer to it. Verse 5 says, for this they willingly are ignorant of. In other words, God says, they are talking without knowledge. They are talking, you know, sometimes when folks say, they talk like they don't have good sense. And when folks don't know the word of God, they are ignorant of God's word. And that's why it is important for us to come to church. It's important for us to preach the word of God. It's important for you to receive the word of God. And it's important for you to read the word of God yourself. Well, sometimes you read and you don't understand. That's why you need to come to church, because when God sends a detour, God is answering somebody that had a question that they didn't understand. And God will have the preacher to preach to what that answer is. But that's not the preacher, that's God. So you need to come to church because God said so. So you won't be talking in an ignorant manner, talking without knowledge. So God says they're ignorant of what they're talking about. Talking about things are continuing from the beginning of the creation. Look what the word of God says. Continue in that same verse. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. So they are saying things have continued as from the creation. That is not true. God said that those, we know the Bible teaches us in Genesis that God became upset, angry, he repented that he had made man, and he decided he was going to destroy this world, this everything that had the breath of life in it. God was going to destroy it. And he told Noah to build an ark because God was going to destroy it. And we know that God, man, did what God told him to do. And when the ark was completed, and Noah had done everything that God told him to do, God told Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives to go into the ark. And when they went into the ark, God locked the ark. Then, after God put them, had them in the ark and had them secure in the ark, and let me say it, this ark of safety, it started to rain. And the Bible declares that it rained 40 days and 40 nights. And that boat, that ark was rising because the water was rising. and everything that had the breath of life in it was destroyed. God said he was going to destroy it. God does what he said. And God destroyed everything that was out of the ark. Only 8 souls were saved. I want you to think about that. Doesn't tell us how many people were in the world. Doesn't tell us how many animals, creatures, crawling things. We don't know how many were, but everything out of the ark was destroyed. Now, God had told Noah to put some things in the ark because God was going to, when the water receded, God was going to have them to go out and start all over again. But if you were not in the ark, you perished. 8 souls. So folks who are saying that things have continued as from the creation, they don't know the word of God. Because this is not the same world that the creation was. Amen. God said what he meant, and he meant what he said. He made us, he could destroy us. It repented him that he made men because of the sin and the wickedness. And God destroyed it. You know what's interesting is, sin and wickedness is yet in the land. And it's getting worse. So folks who say that things remain the same, they're not remaining the same, but let's go a little further. Let's look at the next verse. Again, says 6, and whereby the world that then was. So the world we're living in is not the one that God created from that beginning. He said that then was, being overflowed, was with water, perished. Because God said he was going to destroy it. Remember, saints, God does what he says. God only speaks truth, and we need to take heed to what God has said in his word. All right, let's go a little further. Verse 7. He said, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, this one we are living in, the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved, unto a fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. In other words, what God is telling us that this world that we know today, it is being preserved. But the same thing that happened to the first when he caused them to perish, he's going to cause it again. But it's not time. God said in his word, that he destroyed it first by water, but the next time it'll be by fire. So if God said he was going to destroy it by water and he destroyed it by water, and he says the next time he's going to destroy it by fire, it will be destroyed by fire. God has spoken. God will not go back on his promise. And to let us know that when we see the rainbow, God put a rainbow in the sky to remind us it won't be by water. The world is going to be destroyed again. It's going to happen again, but this time it will be by fire. Because that's what God said. This world. But it's being preserved. Reserved. Reserved. Man is not going to destroy this world. God has it in reserve. God is going to keep man from destroying this world. Years ago, folks thought that the superpowers was going to set off some bomb or whatever else and was going to destroy the world. They're not going to destroy God's world. God is going to destroy his world. See, there's some things that have to take place before God. The gospel has to be preached. Can I get an amen? Amen. And only God knows when the word of God is going out to every nation, every people that he wants it to receive it. And then when, since it's, that's in God's knowledge, God determines when this world is going to be destroyed. But I want us to remember this, that it's going to be destroyed again. But this, I don't want you to become gloomed and saddened and weary because it's going to be destroyed again. What I want you to remember is the first time it was destroyed, God had a people and he saved them. Can I get an amen? 8 souls were saved. When the fire comes, there will be souls that will be saved. God's people will be saved. Amen. That's what I want you to think about. It is going to be a day of rejoicing because God has made preparation for us not to be destroyed. God saved 8 before, and he'll save whatever number he's going to save now. God's people will not be destroyed. Oh, I thank God. But here's something that God wants us to keep in mind. Verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. In other words, God wants us to be knowledgeable. God doesn't want us to go around without knowledge. And God's children, he gives us heavenly wisdom. God has given us his word. And when we get in the word, God reveals things to us through his word. So that when Jesus is coming back, we're not going to be surprised because he told us in his word that he's coming back. Amen. So we find out here, God doesn't want us to be ignorant of this one thing. And this is what it is. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Think about that for a moment. See, people keep saying, well, I got time, but you don't know. You don't know if you got time. God doesn't look at the time the same way we look at it. Amen. Because, well, this is 2015 to us, could be 1,015 to God. Amen. We don't, this day could be 1,015 to God, 1,000 years. And then tomorrow could be something else. But this is what God wants us to know. That God has a time that we don't know. And when folks are trying to predict when the Lord is coming, this shows you right then they can't do it. They give a date, but they don't know if that's one day with God or it's 1,000 years. They don't know that. That's why we need to leave that alone. That's why we don't need to be trying to date when Jesus is coming back. What Jesus wants us to do is to be ready every day. Live right each day. I don't need to know what date, what month, what year Jesus is coming back. You don't need to know that. You need to know this day, am I ready? That's what we need to know as people. Am I ready today? Because tomorrow is not promised to us. And we don't know if Jesus is coming back tomorrow. The angels don't know who in heaven with God. They don't know when Jesus is coming back. Only God knows. But I thank God. He's a merciful God in that God has told us that we need to be ready. So one day, God don't want you to be ignorant of this. One day with the Lord is as a thousand years. And 1,000 years as one day. Now that's too much for us to try to figure out in our head, and no use you try because you can't figure it out. Mathematics not going to work that out. Can I get an amen? Now let's go to verse 9 where we started. So we find out that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. So we find out that those folks who were ignorant without the knowledge and say that the world is created as has been is the same as it was in the creation, they lack wisdom from God. But God wants us to know that, yes, he's going to destroy this world again, but nobody knows. But God has not forgotten what he said. And sometimes I think people think that God has forgotten. God does not forget like we forget. We can say we're going to do something that during the day, and by the nighttime, I forgot to do what I said I was going to. God does not forget. God has a time for everything. Jesus was prophesied that he was going to come, but he didn't come until God said it was the fullness of time for him to come. And we don't know God's timing, but God is such a good God that he's given us warnings to let us know. You don't have to know when I'm coming back. Just be ready every day. And whenever I come back, if you're ready, then all is well. Can I get an amen? Amen. So we find out here, as we continue to look at this, they might consider that this world is yet standing like it was, and we know it's not because what God said. And they might say, well, I've been hearing that even so, well, if it was destroyed, but he says it's going to come again, and here I am, I'm an old person now, and he still hasn't come. Yes, he has. Amen. But he is coming on the clouds, as he said. Amen. And your doubting it is not going to change it. Your being negative is not going to change it. I just want to say to you, don't you let him come and you find out your work's not done. Don't let him come and you're not ready to go back with him. Don't let him come and you're not a believer in Jesus. Because if you're not a believer, you are just like those folks who are out of the ark. Everything out of the ark did perish. And everyone who's not a believer in Jesus, you can't be saved. You will not go to heaven. So as we look at this, we find out here that, so God is not slack. God knows what he's doing concerning this problem. As some men count slackness. But this is the God that we serve. Look at it. It says, but is long-suffering to usward. That's what it is. That's why this world hasn't been destroyed. Because I'm sure that the sins that's prevalent in the land today, and it's getting worse, and they fight God's word, and they say that they can do what they want to do, but God has not destroyed this world yet, because God is long-suffering to this human race. God is long-suffering to us. That's the goodness of God. Do we understand God does not have to give us a second chance? But God is long-suffering. Don't we understand that the sin that man does, the sin is against God? Well, do we not understand that God could destroy him if he wanted to? But God is long-suffering. I thank God that he's long-suffering. Because all of us, as we examine our lives, I'm sure we can remember some things that God could have destroyed us. And if God had destroyed us out of the ark of safety, there would be no way we would go to heaven. But I'm glad that he's a long-suffering God. I'm glad that his patience is long. And this is why I said, but his long-suffering to us were not willing that any should perish. That's why God is delaying his coming. Because sin is very prevalent in the land. It's not getting better concerning sin. It's getting worse. But God is not willing that any should perish. We ought to say, Lord, I thank you. I thank God that he puts up with us. He's not pleased with us. But God looks on us and has pity. God sees that we're in a pitiful state, that we need help and don't know it. And that's the status of the world. They need Jesus and don't know it. Because they seem to be doing well, they got things, and they got money, and they got houses, and they got land, and everything is going well. They think that they're on the mountaintop. But you know, all it needs is one hurricane. One hurricane, one tornado. It can come through, and it's just all you were boasting and bragging about is could be gone. But not only that, during that hurricane or tornado, you could lose your life. And if you lose your life without Jesus, there's no hope for you. Oh, I thank God it's not his will that any should perish. And everybody who's not saved, you ought to be saying, Lord, I thank you because, Lord, I want to be saved. Lord, I don't want to die and go to that lake. But God is not willing that any should perish. But look what God wants. But that all should come to repentance. That's why God is long-suffering. God has given mankind a chance to hear his word and come to faith in Jesus and believe the redemptive work that Jesus did on the cross for us and believe enough in Jesus so that they can become children of God. God has made a way for man not to perish. God sent his only son here. And God sent his son here with a mission. And that mission was to die, to give his life for you and me, to pay our sin debts so that we would not have to die and be punished forever. God only had that one begotten son, and he sent him here to die for you and me. And I thank God. It's not God's will that any should perish. God has made a way for us not to perish. We had a debt we couldn't pay, so God took care of that. God sent someone who could pay it. And now that debt has been paid in full. Our sin debt has been paid in full. Jesus died to pay it. It's not God's will that any should perish. God wants us to come. God wants us to come to him. God wants us to be holy folks. But he wants us that we should come to repentance. Now we want to look at repentance for a little while. You can't serve God and lust after sin. You can't be a child of God and have hatred in your heart. You can't be a child of God and do those things that God says we shouldn't do. And we know liars and, you know, the backbiters and even pride. Do you know pride is keeping a lot of folks out of the kingdom? Some folks are so lifted up in pride, you know, it's detrimental to them. But pride, God hates pride. See, and those are the things that they are in folks' lives, it's manifested in their lives. They boast and they brag about what they do and what they don't. They cheat, they steal. They take advantage of the poor. Amen. You read about flim-flammers. Amen. You read about folks who are going to do some work for you and you give them some money and they don't do what they're supposed to do and you lose your money and can't find them. Amen. You can't live that kind of life and be a child of God. God is calling for repentance. And repentance means you got to change. A change has to take place. That's what God wants us to face, the fact that we are sinners. We are out of God's will. We are doing the things that does not please God. We are rebellious against God. We decide what we are not going to do. It doesn't matter what God says, and we don't do it. God says it's time for repentance. It's time for a change. You got to have a change of mind. You have to decide that the things that I'm doing is against God. You're going to have to decide that the way I'm going, this path I'm traveling, my end will not be good. You have to decide that I've been doing the things that I want to do. I've been doing the things that brought pleasure to me. And I know God says we shouldn't do it, but I wanted to do it and I did it. That's where some folks are. Some sinners, they are bold in what they say. Amen. I know that's in the Bible, but I'm not saved, and I can do what I want to do. You can't do what you want to do And if you do, you're going to have to give an account to God because there are consequences for your action. You got to have a change of mind. You got to decide that I can't live this way anymore. I don't want to live this way anymore. Then you got to have a change of heart. Decide that, you know, in my heart, I know I'm wrong. In my heart, I know that I'm not a child of God. I know. And I've been telling folks that I'm saved, and I've been acting like I'm saved. But in my heart, I know I'm not right. You got to have a change of heart. You got to decide you're going to stop living a hypocrite. You got to decide that God is not deceived. You can't deceive God. God knows all about us. God knows who you are. I want you to know there are no secrets from God. Your secret sin is not a secret to God. God knows our thoughts afar off. Before it comes to our mind, God already knows what we're going to think. We're not dealing with another human being. We are dealing with an almighty God who is a spirit. He's an all-knowing God. And there's nothing we can hide from God. And if you think you're hiding something from God, you're deceiving yourselves. If you think that you got us fooled, that you're saved and you're going home with the Lord, you're fooling yourself. Because it's not us that will have to say you're going to heaven. It's God. We need to understand that we got to face a God one day. And the Bible declares we're going to have to give an account of everything we've done in our bodies, whether it's been good or bad. And we need to understand that I don't care how good you can lie, you won't be able to lie to this one. Because the Bible wants us to know that God is a God who never sleeps and he never slumbers. God is fully aware. God is a God who is, I don't know how many people in the world, but God sees each one of us individually. And he knows everything about each one of us individually. And I know scoffers are going to say, oh, that's not true. You don't know the God that we serve. God created this world. God spoke it into existence. God says, let there be, and there is. God made you. He knows everything about you. So you got to have a change of heart. And then you got to have a change of will. Because some folks are just set in their stubborn way. They don't want to change. I want to do what I want to do. Amen. And you don't tell me what to do. You know, you try to tell somebody that needs Jesus, you don't tell me what I need. Some folks will tell you to your face. Yeah, son of man, he's not afraid to say what's on his mind. And when he does, that just points out that he needs a change of mind. God is calling for repentance. We got to change the way we are thinking. We got to stop trying to pretend to be something that we are not. Because we're going to face a God. There are books being kept. Everything that's being done, there are books that's being kept. You won't have to testify. It's in the book. And God knows all about you. And I want you to know, again, the Bible reminds us that God does not need the sun light in order to see. Light and darkness are the same to God. And I want you to remember, if you think you're so smart that you're going to leave Jacksonville where nobody knows you and you're going somewhere else to do whatever you want to do that's out of the will of God, I want you to know before you get there, God is already there. Because God is all over this world, all at the same time, every place. There is no place we can go that God does not exist. Need to repent. Need to have a change of your mind, your heart, and your will. Let's look at an example. The prodigal son. The prodigal son went to his father and asked for his portion of the possessions that his father owned. The father gave it to him. And he went out and he lived righteously. He did what he was old enough to do. And that's what folks do now. They drink, they party, fornicate, adulterers, they lie, And they just do it and say, I'm having a good time. So he went out and he spent his money. And then he ended up with nothing. And that's what happens with the world. You know, you go out there messing with the devil's folks. They'll spend all your money. Phone can't stop ringing for them. But oh, when your money is gone and you need some help. Man, I'm waiting for my ship to come in. And it never comes in. That's the way the devil does. The devil is a deceiver. But ultimately, the devil will destroy you. He will get you out there to destroy. But thank God, this young man, he got to the low point in his life. Feeding the hogs. Ready to eat some of the hog food. And then he came to himself. Came to himself. Say, my father's hired servant have more than enough. And here I am about to starve to death. He came to himself that living out there in the world and having a good time is not the best life. He came to himself to find out that your so-called friends, they'll leave you alone. As long as you're buying the drinks, you're all right, Joe. But when you can't buy, they don't buy. They'll help you drink it or help you do whatever it is, but when your money's gone, you can't find them. He came to himself. I wasn't raised that way. That's not the environment I had. My parents went to church. My parents took me to church. They taught me what the Bible said. They taught me that I needed to be saved. And here I went out into the world and got with the wrong folks. And come to the point where you're in now, I'm a disgrace. And he came to himself. And he had a change of heart. He didn't stay there and wallow. He didn't stay in sin. He wasn't so proud that he couldn't go back. He said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going back to my father. And I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. You can make me as one of the hired servants. He came to himself. He repented of his doing. He had a change of mind. He had a change of heart. And he had a change of his will. He no longer wanted to do that thing, what he was doing. He wanted to do the will of God. And every one of us, in order to be a child of God, we're going to have to change some things. We're going to have to realize that we got to surrender to God. We're going to have to say, God, have mercy on me. Lord, I need you. We're going to have to say, Lord, my way is not right because it's not your way. Amen. And the young man got up. See, now sometimes we go through things, what you need to do, but the devil will convince you, oh, your ship's going to come in. Just wait a little while longer. And you've already decided that's what you needed to do, but the devil doesn't want to release you. The devil want to keep a pull on you. But I'm glad that young man, he went through that action of what he needed to do, and then he got up and did it. He turned around, and that's what repentance is, a change. You stop going in that direction. You've been following the ways of the devil. Turn around, make a change, and go to Jesus. He turned around and went to his father. And as he said he was going to do, he did it. He repented. He confessed. And he was forgiven. He was forgiven. God, not his will that any should perish, but his will that you repent. That you realize that life you're living, you can't go to heaven. Amen. And it's good to come to church, but you got to give yourselves to God. I thank God that you come to hear the word of God, because this is what the word of God will do. The word of God will bring you to faith. And when God's word comes, don't let the devil cause it to lose your mind. Remember what God has said and say, God, have mercy. Even as I preach, if you know you're not saved, you ought to be saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, because I want to be saved. Lord, I want to repent like you said. So that is a good example of what will happen when a change takes place in your life. His first change was for the wrong reason. But I thank God, his second change, he came back to his environment. He came back to his father, who was a believer in the Lord. And that's what we need to do. We need to stay in that teaching of having faith in God. We need to understand that we need God. The Bible says without him, we can do nothing. You're not going to have a good life without Jesus. So we find out here that it's not his will that any should perish. But God wants man to repent. Repent. And you can repent. Every one of us in here, we know we can repent. Come with a broken heart, broken spirit, and confess to the holy God that you sinned against him. All of us know that the sins that mankind commit, it's against God. When God says don't do something and you do what God says don't do, that's you sinned against God. And since every human being belongs to God, that means we're going to have to give an account to God. You can't sin against God and get away with it. You belong to God. God can call you into question and you're going to have to answer him. And the day is coming when you will be called into question. You're going to have to give an account to God, even though you didn't serve God, even though you don't ever recognize him as the only true God. But you one day, the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is the Lord. And we're going to have to understand, you'll have to understand that even if you die a sinner, you're going to have to yet face holy God and confess, but it'll be too late. God is calling for repentance now. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to get right with God. All right, let's look why God is telling us he's calling for repentance. Why God is saying that a day is as a thousand years and a thousand years is as a day. Verse 10 lets us know what's going to happen. I told you it's going to happen again. In other words, what I mean is God is going to destroy this world again. It's going to happen again because he's already declared it. And he already told us how it's going to be destroyed. We don't even have to wonder. You don't have to go to the fortune teller. God left it in his word. It's going to be destroyed by fire. Let's look at verse 10. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's what God is telling us is going to happen. He said he's going to destroy it by fire. And that's a fire the firemen won't be able to put out. You know, look at those fires out there on the West Coast. Firemen lose their lives trying to put it out. And eventually they get it out. Usually when God sends a good rain, then God is the one that will have to put it out. I want you to know when God sets this world on fire, that firemen won't be able to put that one out. Because God is saying what's going to happen, that things are going to start melting. Amen. That's going to be a terrible heat, saints. Amen. Then look what verse 11 says. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. And what things is he talking about again? The elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth. Also, in the works that are therein shall be burned, all these hot skyscrapers and all these beautiful buildings, man, is built on earth. God says it's going to be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? In other words, since we know and God has declared it and God only speaks truth that he's going to destroy this world again and it'll be by fire, he's telling us we need to be holy. We need to be holy. We need to come to Christ. We need to come to Jesus and cry out for mercy and say, Lord, save me. in all holy manner of living and godliness. We need to live like people of God. And we can live like people of God when we obey God's word. When we are people of God, because he adopts us into his family. And God puts a new spirit in us. God gives us a new heart, and it causes us to be able to obey God's word. But God is saying, I'm going to destroy this world. You need to be holy. You need to be in the ark of safety. That's our ark of safety. In Noah's day, it was that ark that God told him to build. In this day, it's Jesus. Jesus is our ark of safety. Say, thank you, Lord. When you're in Christ Jesus, you will not perish. When Jesus is your Savior, will not we be destroyed? You need to be holy. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And what's so wonderful? God makes us holy. Salvation is a gift of God. You don't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't. Your mom and daddy can't give it to you. Only Jesus can save your soul. So these things are going to be dissolved. And a wise person should be praying every day if you're not saved, Lord, have mercy on my soul. Lord, save me. Lord, I want to be your child. Lord, help me. That's what we should be doing, because this world is going to be destroyed. But look what Jesus said up in the territory. He's going to come as a thief in the night. There's another passage says, behold, I come quickly. Amen. Things could be going along, nice, pretty day, and calm, and whatever, and then all of a sudden, Jesus is going to appear on the clouds of glory. He said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. And when he comes on the clouds of glory, it's going to be too late. Because he told us to be ready. The five wise virgins were ready. They had their lamps, and they had oil. And when Jesus came, they were ready to go in. But those who did not have oil in their lamp, they were out of place. They weren't ready. They slept and slumbering. And then when Jesus came, they didn't go in because they weren't ready. And that's what's going to happen to folks who are saying, I need to be saved, or I want to be saved. Come to Jesus and tell him that. When you mean it, come to Jesus. Don't just say it. Be like the prodigal son. He said, I'm going to my father. He got up and he went to his father. He didn't sit around and keep saying, well, one day I'm going. No, he got up and he came to his father. And Jesus tells us, come boldly to the throne of grace. When you come boldly, you're going to get some mercy from him. Oh, I thank God. I thank God. So he's warning us. He's coming quickly. No man knows the day or the hour. He's coming quickly. And you need to be holy. You need to be like Jesus. And verse 12 says, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. In other words, when you're ready, we are looking for him to come back. When you're saved, we are looking for him to come back, because Jesus said he was going away, but he's coming back for us. And we know if he said he's coming back, he's coming back. If we know if he said he's going to destroy the world, he's going to destroy the world. But we don't have to fret over that, because God has made a way for us to be in the ark of safety. He's made a way for us to be saved in Jesus. And when you're in Jesus, you can't perish. So you ought to be looking and saying, come, Lord Jesus. I'm ready for you, Lord. It's when he comes, everybody's going to know it. The Bible says every eye shall see him. But God is going to do a terrible thing. But God is warning us he's going to do that. You have a chance to repent. You have a chance now to turn from your evil ways. Amen. If when the world's on fire, it's too late then. We need to do it while things are yet in God's long-suffering state. But one day, it's going to happen. Just like he sent that rain for 40 days and 40 nights, he's going to send that fire. And we know God can do that. Sodom and Gomorrah found that out. He rained down fire from heaven and destroyed that place. Can I get an amen? So he's let us know he has the power to do it. There's nothing God can't do. He has all power. Then verse 13 says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. He's going to destroy this old sinful world the second time. But those of us who are saved, we're looking for the new heavens and a new earth wherein there will nothing be, there will be no one there but righteous people. Won't that be a wonderful place? Amen. A righteous, no evil folks. No people doing terrible things. It'll just be a place of eternal joy in the presence of God, where everybody there is a righteous person. Everybody there is like God, holy like God. Oh, saints, we're looking forward to that day. We know it's coming. And I thank God that he's given us an insight in what's going to happen. So verse 14 says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, since you're looking for that new heaven and a new earth and the place where there's not going to be any sinful folks, amen. Jesus will have separated the sinners from the righteous. Remember, he said that he was going to do the separating. Remember, he told us, let the wheat and the tares go together, and he will separate. When Jesus comes back, that's what he's going to do. He's going to separate the sheep representing righteous people from the goats representing sinful people. The righteous people will go away and spend eternity with him. Sinful people will go, the goats will go and be punished eternally. Oh, he's coming to do that. That's going to happen. He's letting us know it's going to happen. And what God says is going to happen, it's going to happen. But God is long-suffering. I thank God he's long-suffering. Amen. Because we might not have been saved today if God had not been long-suffering. So we're looking for that new earth and new heaven. So wherefore, verse 14, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace. Don't take it lightly. Don't take your salvation lightly. Pray every day. Read your Bible every day. Examine yourself every day. Let your light shine every day. Watch your words every day. Build up, not tear down every day. Amen. Be that one that is a holy person, the only one on the job that's living right. That's all right. Do it. Even when they talk about you and ridicule you, live right. Because we know the end is coming. And we know what's going to happen today. So let's be diligent. Not just Sunday. We start getting righteous and feeling holy on Sunday only. No, every day is a day. Every day is a holy day for God's people. Amen. When I'm at home, it's a holy day. When I'm at work, it's a holy day. When I walk around and visit other places, it's a holy day. Can I get an amen? Diligent. We're not part-time Christians. We're Christian 24 hours a day, every day. We're not part-time Christians. Only when we come to the church and we're so righteous. We're righteous with our family members. Those who don't live right, don't do right, don't want to act right. We're not, even though they're blood relatives, we're not going to live that way because God has saved us. We need to be a light in that family. You need to be a light on your job. You need to be a light in your neighborhood. Let's be diligent. Driving your car, let's be diligent. When somebody cuts you off, let's remember we're a child of God. When somebody gets that parking space that you were sitting there to get, that's all right. And when somebody does something that when you didn't do anything to them, they just give you an ugly sign, still be diligent. Remember that I'm a child of God. Remember they have identified who they are. Amen. The devil in evil folks calls, the devil is an evil force in people that calls them to do evil. Thank God that you're not that way anymore. Thank God that God has delivered us. We can say, I am delivered. And I thank God. Praise the Lord. I am delivered. God has delivered me from the bondage of the devil. I don't have to do what the devil's saying anymore. I'm delivered. Thank God I'm delivered. So let's be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. In other words, that shows we got to live every day, 24 hours a day, because we don't know when he's coming. We don't know. He's coming quickly. He's coming as a thief in the night. So we can't for 1 minute decide I'll do some sinful something and ask God to forgive me. No, every day we got to live right. Can you do it? Yes, we can. Because it's not us living, it's Christ in us. When God saves us, he comes to live in us. And because he lives in us, he causes us to live right. He causes us to obey his word. He causes us to be a light in this world. He causes us to be a person that people can come to and ask for prayer. He causes us to not be a hypocrite. He causes us to walk uprightly before him every day. Diligent. Serious about your salvation. Amen. This is not play. No, this is real. Your soul is at stake. Amen. You don't have time to be a hypocrite, because a hypocrite is a liar. And God said liars would not tarry in his sight. God said a liar was going to the lake that burned with fire and brimstone. Amen. You can't tell a lie, even if it's going to get you out of trouble. Just get in trouble and say, God, forgive me. Can I get an amen? We don't do things and say, I'm going to ask God to forgive us. No, we resist the devil. God says, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. And God made it plain how we're to resist the devil. Jesus gave us an example. When the devil comes with you and says, do this, God, remember what God says and do what God says. Do just the opposite of what the devil says. Do what God says. Diligent. I'm serious about living for God. Amen. It's not a plaything. I'm not teasing. Amen. I want God to see me, and I want God to be pleased with me. Amen. I don't want God to have to whip me. Amen. I want God to shower his blessings on me, because he knows that we're going to do right. Amen. The Bible says the Lord knows the way of the righteous. I want to be that kind of person, that God knows that I'm going to do right. God knows that you're going to do right. Amen. God knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We're not ungodly anymore. God has made us like he is. God has made us holy. God has adopted us into his family. Amen. God said we can call him Father. God has told us in his word that we are to sin not. Let not sin rule, reign in your mortal bodies. And God has fixed it so sin can't reign, because he occupies the temple. And where God is, there can be no sin. Where God dwells, there can be no darkness, because God is light. Amen. There's no darkness in God. God is light. And I thank God. It's going to happen again. Don't be like those folks during Noah's day. Just 8 souls. 8 souls did not perish. 8 souls. I'm telling you today, you don't have to worry about perishing when you're in Jesus. When you're in Jesus, we are secure. The ones that Jesus saved, he hasn't lost a one. He never will. He never will, because we're in the Father's hand. And no one can pluck us out of the Father's hands, because the Father is greater than all. It's going to happen again. Everyone, please stand. Everyone, please stand.